is no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
Love your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories.
Yes.
Make me happy. Make me feel this way.
That's such a great rendition of a song. I don't know what that song.
Do me better. Chaka Khan.
Whoa!
Make me happy. I want to say thank you to the people of Boston because number one,
beat down.
We had such wonderful series of shows there.
Fantastic.
Was so good. It was honestly some of our best crowds. Even with the
had
Chicago.
A lot of Jameson.
A lot of Jameson.
Had a little Bud Light. Sniffed a Guinness.
Very much so. And I want to say, number one, I want to say thank you to Boston. This is the least amount of verbal abuse I have received.
No one called you Polish.
I wish they referred to you
as like a gremlin that they were scared of.
You're being kind for the people of Boston. But I want to say congrats. But I will say big ups to the guy who tried to fight the police in the top half of the Chevalier Theater. That guy just took off his shirt in true Boston fashion. We were in the middle of a show. It was the second show. It was awesome. All of a sudden, we heard this, like, what sounded like an independent celebration
right
up in the top area, right? We heard people go, woo, woo, woo. And apparently, some guy was yelling, and another guy in Boston fashion being like, well, if you're yelling, you can't yell alone here. It's Massachusetts.
No, you can't.
They went, he started yelling, then he was just like, oh, yeah, popped off the shirt. And that's how you know things are about to get slippery, but then he was removed by security, and that is unfortunate. I wish he didn't have to get to violence, but also when it comes down to, wow, really good work.
Absolutely horrible job. Welcome to Side Stories, everyone. I am Ben, hanging out with Henry. Henry is currently holding a butt plug. It was given to him by an audience member.
Do you like it?
No, I hate it.
Honestly, it's a lot more. I actually thought butt plugs would be more stable than this.
It might not be the best quality butt plug.
No, don't say that.
It might not be.
Don't say that.
It has Henry's face on the portion that would be sticking out of the rear if you were looking at it. So
ooh, that's very soft.
If you are someone who is into the butt play, don't forget to plug away and have a good day.
How can you get this in there?
Well, my friend, it requires a lot of lube. It requires a lot of patience. It requires a strong mindset and will. So this is going to take you a
Fernando,
second.
Fernando, stop winking.
This is going to take you a second.
His eyes.
Indeed, this is going to take you a second to get used to, but I do believe that rectally you could fit that within a week's time.
So,
thank you so much for the gift from this wonderful audience member.
I'd really like to think of my butthole's more stable than this.
Yeah, I mean, your butthole might not be able to facilitate a plug. I think it could slip right out of there. I don't know why. Your butt could also be the easiest to peg. Also the most difficult given the bone structure because you have no meat.
It's the hairs.
Exactly.
That's the worst part. I have guard hairs like a tomcat. You can't get through that first barrier. I'd have to really shave it. Really have to shave quite the hole to get you through there. But honestly, what it comes down to, if I love you, I better be doing that.
Absolutely.
Oh,
all
God.
Right, well,
we have a couple of updates.
Yeah, we have a couple of updates to get to today. And then we also, don't worry, everyone, we have a penis story. So don't stress
don't
it.
Worry. Hey. Calm down.
A lot of people woke up today and said, oh my God, are the boys going to have a penis story today?
I am
so depressed and sad. It's hard to be a nurse or a doctor.
It is.
Or the pilot that works for Delta that's also a massive fan that makes me a little bit worried. But that's okay.
Well, I actually learned a little bit about pilots as well from a fan that really had me very worried because
mostly drunk these days.
We got stopped the last time we were about to go. It wasn't this trip. It was on the way to Chicago where a hammered guy sauntered up to me online waiting to go onto the plane. He's like, hey, so your plane's going through. Oh, God, good for you. The last flight had to get canceled because the pilot showed up hammered and just like, oh, good.
Thank you.
Is this often?
All they really have to do is take off and land. Two of the most important things the plane can do. But once they're in the air, if they can get it up there, you're going to be fine again until they have to descend.
You
in
ready
which
to
case,
be body checked by facts?
Yes.
Here we go. You guys have joked on several occasions about how airplanes and jets mostly fly themselves. This is directly from a letter.
Okay.
This, however, is terrifyingly far from the truth.
Whoa, hold on a second. I'm not going to sit here and have my phobia of flying come back to me. I was told this by someone who is in aeronautics.
They'll say whatever.
They say that once
they're in fantasy world. They live in fake roads. The air is fake road. It's not real.
Politics is fantasy. Science, please God, aeronautics. Still, there has to be some truth to this world.
I mean, I am one of those. I always get afraid that if I think that the plane will forget how to fly, that it will stop.
It's not an animated plane with a smiley face on the cover. It's not Thomas the Tank Engine.
You got to believe in it. Everybody applaud. Applaud the plane. Make sure the plane works and goes up in the sky.
You were officially an elder millennial clapping at the end of the movie or when the plane lands again, unless the turbulence is really bad, in which case maybe it would warrant a clap. Other than that,
I don't like clapping like that. Even that makes me superstitious.
Because I think it just means that I all thought we were going
to
die.
Yes, and I don't like that either. So unfortunately, these jets need to be programmed and reprogrammed constantly during flight in an aviation-specific type of coding language to do everything that it quote-unquote does by itself for each and every turn, descent, ascent, approach, departure. There's a saying in aviation that goes, garbage in, garbage out, which jocularly references the incorrect coding of the flight computers. When the plane accidentally turns away from the airport on approach to, instead of fly back on course and starts descending towards the city as opposed to going in for a landing, the captain might roll his or her eyes and say, garbage in, garbage out, while reprimanding the first officer for their shit job at programming that leg of the flight, which means they almost killed all of us.
No.
That means they almost killed all of us in one move.
I'm going to disagree with this letter that I'm just going to assume you wrote to yourself, because I seriously refuse to believe that they have to code every time they take off, take a left or take a right. I don't know. Maybe I'm putting too much. Maybe I'm not giving them enough credit.
I don't know.
But I just believe that seems like the Wright brothers didn't even do that much work, and they barely got that plane off the ground.
I mean, it was just like a log with a fucking old timey Model 8 engine attached to it.
I was told that there are planes that are as good as roads.
Your whole bedrock is being shucked.
I'm
right
not
now.
Allowing it to happen.
Modern day jet pilots are actually half pilot, half computer programmer. Each aircraft requires about 2 weeks, 12 hours a day, plus study time of training, essentially just to learn the basics of that specific computer system for that specific airplane. So we can't just jump in. Wow, this is really scary. I'm not finishing the rest of this
letter. No, I hate it.
This is honestly, it's very frightening.
I hate it.
Because anything can happen.
It's a lie.
It's just all based on human. I guess it's true, though. You go right to back. We have the lovely people who drive us, especially when we have the long trips, when we have to go in between various venues. And you go blissfully asleep. You sit back and go.
I do. I have the feather that goes, but it's not a feather. It's a little piece of beef jerky, because Marcus always gets me a little beef jerky.
But you have to treat the jet pilot with the same amount of trust that you give the sprinter van driver. Why do you think the sprinter van driver is even more capable or trained than a pilot?
I actually don't trust the sprinter van pilot nor the driver of the sprinter van nor the pilot. This is why I fall asleep, because they say if you're asleep and an accident occurs,
you bounce around.
Your body's so relaxed.
Unless you're Cliff Burton.
Cliff Burton got
thrown out of the bus because he wasn't properly secured.
That's Metallica, for those that don't know. And then they were super mean to every single bassist that took over after him.
They were emotionally upset and they couldn't access their emotions until they went into the group therapy.
It's absolutely disgusting what they've done with that documentary, Some Kind of Monster. But the thing is, falling asleep is a powerful skill.
It is.
Faint or fight. Sleep. I'm serious.
You're talking about, you do that I sleeping think, goat thing.
I really
the goats
do.
That pass out.
I think if a plane starts to go down, what are you going to do? Like, your options are, cry.
I just get drunk.
I think, loot.
Well, when I get loot.
Immediately.
Give me those impossible meatballs.
I just you'd be amazed what they can do now with this impossible meat.
I had it till I had some impossible meat on the plane, and it was incredible.
You are so from Queens. It's you
so
mean
good.
This isn't meat?
Oh, this isn't meat?
This isn't meat.
You lied to me.
I'm falling asleep. That's all I'm saying. I am like, oh, anyway, well, thank you for that horrifying
I'm upset.
Email.
You walked right into that.
Again, maybe I was lied to for my own self-interest. Thank you.
I think lies are important if they help.
That's why I am a massive advocate. A little white lie here or there.
Got it.
Can you imagine a world where everyone told
you? Lie to me a little bit.
Also, no one knows what their truth is, because it changed. I mean, other than the bedrock things that we have, which, you know, makes us human beings of somewhat reliability.
But your truth can change every day.
Every day. Because sometimes, I love this beard. I might wake up tomorrow and say, I fucking hate this beard.
Yeah, I'm sick of this beer. Because you drank too much. Because now you've been an alcoholic and everyone's mad at you about it. And then you have attributing all the wonderful feelings you had when you're drunk to all these people going, well, you need to change. You're ruining everything, you know? And then be like, yeah, you ruined me being an alcoholic for myself. That's very sad. I feel like if you do need help, you should reach out. 1-800-NO-DRINKING-NO.
Fantastic.
Yep. Is that good? Is that a reliable phone number?
Do you have any other updates for
us? Yes, I do. About small animals being able to survive from any height when they are dropped.
Okay.
The answer is no.
And how did this maniac decide or figure this out? I pray to God he didn't just throw a bunch of squirrels off of an 8-story high rise.
Apparently you can, the smaller the animal, the harder is it, the longer it takes for them to reach terminal velocity. Maybe I'm incorrect.
That's smacking on the ground and their head explodes.
That is the peak amount of speed. Fernando, you're an engineer. Tell me if I'm wrong. Like, if you hit peak speed, a large creature can hit the terminal velocity faster than a small creature.
Makes sense.
Right? And so,
so if it was 9/11, let's transport there, 2001.
Yeah, great. Oh, wow. I'm so excited. What a beautiful Tuesday morning.
Hey, good to see you, Henry. Yep, just another day.
Oh my God!
Let's jump. I'm hitting the ground first because of terminal velocity.
No.
Why not?
Eventually, it depends on how long the. All right, maybe I'm. Oh my God! I'm so sick of the corrections. But it's fine. I'll take it.
Would we hit at the same time?
I shouldn't be sick of the corrections. I love to learn, and I feel like I've been coming in hot recently, being mad about the corrections, and I'm not that mad. It's inside stories lpotl at gmail.com. Tell me if I'm getting elementary school physics incorrect. That Kissel and I would eventually reach the same speed, depending on how long the fall is. That heavy, you would reach terminal velocity faster than me. Yes, but because we are on the top of the World Trade Center. Do you remember how that existed, Elder Millennials?
Oh.
If we jump from the top of that, it would be such a long fall that eventually we would reach the same speed, and then we would not be able to go faster. Like, you can't go faster than me once we both hit terminal velocity.
Right.
Then we are splats, right? Then we are nothing. We're like, same thing with a tiny dog. I might be incorrect about this, but the idea that that's why sometimes a dog can survive a 2-3-story jump or something like that, because I do have message people saying like they had a dog that fell, so that type of thing, and they did live. They did get injured, obviously.
Dogs also, and babies.
We also talk about how Chihuahuas, especially because they have weak little legs, they can break a leg jumping from 36 inches, right? Oh. But they're not hitting terminal velocity speed by the time they hit. And then a big fatter dog, a big redheaded, big fat drunk dog, would hit far but find an elite tiny little blonde dog, right? Before it hit the ground, right? It would hit that for. But what they are saying, when someone told a harrowing story about, like, they had a dog, a little tiny dog, on the roof, their rooftop party. Don't bring your fucking dog to a rooftop party.
Please,
and that they thought that it was like, oh, my dog could barely make the bed. You know, like, you know, that's bigger than whatever the lip. It was like a 4-foot lip around the thing. And the flock of birds took off from the top of the building, and they watched their dog go, like, run across the party and jump and then just be gone. Like, just Spider-Man itself off the thing, where they're like, obviously that's natural selection.
Absolutely.
And it is keeping it. But also at the same time, don't trust your tiny dog to know. Because
absolutely
Wendy,
not.
The thing about a tiny dog, and you, Jerry, too, same thing. Their confidence is unwarranted.
Absolutely, completely and utterly insane.
I don't know. They don't know what they're doing.
It is just, if it's a Mark Zuckerberg level of confidence, and at some point they are going to ruin this world. But I do want to quote again, as I sometimes do, from Billy Madison, the principal. Mr. Madison, what you've just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I've ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response are you even close to considering, even close to anything that could be considered irrational thought. So good job.
Yep.
I love it. So anyway, dogs can fly and planes can't, evidently.
I guess. So scary. And then I have one more update before we get into the stories. This is about the Swiss family that committed group suicide.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. One family gone.
Oh.
A Swiss listener wrote in. Okay. So the family was living in Montreux in Canton Vaud. They were apparently very much into conspiracy theories, QAnon stuff, as well as survivalism, and lived in a semi-complete autarky ever since the pandemic, which, like, I guess they went and they can just completely live on their own. They're completely self-sufficient.
Hey man, when it comes to the pandemic, obviously, I absolutely hated every second. Henry, not enjoyed it. Marcus didn't really change that much.
No.
But preppers loved it.
See?
I'm right.
I'll be right.
I'm right. And then they got to eat all their rehydrated and dehydrated foods. They got to finally shit next to their children in buckets the way they've always wanted to.
They've been bragging about how they were going to make them do that eventually.
I'm not saying it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, but at some point, the doomsday people God, I hate it when they get something right.
I hate it.
Because it's never good.
No. And so what they said is these people, so it was the wife, the other sister, there was the mother, sister, and the father, and one of the children jumped off the balcony and lived. And died. And
the
died.
Son lived.
The son lived.
He's in critical condition now.
He's still in critical condition. And apparently the aunt, she had a job outside. She was the only one with a job, but she was never actually even registered as a citizen of Montreux. This is a very, honestly, it's very liberal over there, and which is good, but in some ways, shape, or form, you end up in a splat, and we don't know what you are, because we're going to have to scrape up all your goo, and we're going to have to ask various people, you recognize this goo?
You recognize this goo?
But yes, on the morning of the incident, two gendarmes. They presented themselves, indeed, in regard to the homeschool situation. The mandate was addressed to the father, a 40-year-old Frenchman. They heard a voice who said, "Who's there?" And nothing else. And so the gendarmes went away because, again, we were correct. Swiss cops, they cannot force your door open, even on a simple pretext.
No-knock warrants. They need to be banned here in this country. Unfortunately,
absolutely.
We're going the other direction with it, and that ain't right. So interesting. So the update is that they are Swiss and dead. Fantastic. Well, speaking of...
Well, also that the conspiracy theory culture is actually, much like here, has gotten massive in Switzerland.
When you mentioned Q, I was like, that's right. It's freaking international. Okay. Well,
because they know even less about fucking shithead.
Absolutely.
Big boy. No, you know even less about him.
It gets dumber and dumber and dumber and dumber. Shit rolls downhill. For many people, if you're like an Alex Jones fan, he's the smart one.
Yeah.
And it gets worse from there. Well, what else do people have in common? Genitals.
From your grave.
Hey, what's up, everyone? How you doing? Ben Kissel here with Henry Zebrowski.
Yeah, it's me, man.
Yeah, bro. Henry Zebrowski is smoking some of that sweet last podcast on the left, babe. Go out there and purchase yourself some. I hope you enjoy it. We have sativa, we have indica, and we have a hybrid. And I have to tell you, from my personal experience, they are wonderful.
Super tasty live resin. You really get the delicious, weedy taste, which is what I like. And
yes.
Three different experiences. You go to your local vape store and get it.
Absolutely. Thank you all so much for supporting the show. We absolutely love you. Can't wait to see you on the road and get that vape, put it in your brain, and have a good time.
And if you want us at your favorite weed store, give them a call and ask for them by name.
Absolutely.
Last podcast on the left, it's weed.
Hail yourselves, everyone.
Hail Satan.
This is kind of an interesting story. Now, Henry, I know that you're a mini detective, obviously, with the Slime Squad and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
This takes place in Boston on Hancock Street, which is quite apropos.
We're really close to there.
Yes.
We just missed this whole mystery was unfolding while we were there.
7:30. Okay.
Put yourself in the, all right, listen, put yourself in there. It's 7:30 in the morning. It's Boston. You've been up all night. Yeah. You've been up all night harassing a bunch of sports players that are way more skilled than you, but you think that you know better because you've had 10 schlitzes.
And in high school, you scored 30 points in a game.
Yeah. And you tell it to everybody. You're from Boston.
Right. All of a sudden you take a step. What is this?
Is that some kind of dead wood?
It's a severed penis.
Mm.
Yes, indeed. It appears like it was left out in the open for many hours on Hancock Street. That was this past Wednesday. According to the source, they say they followed the blood trail to a nearby address where they found a man bleeding. In addition to removing his penis, he had stabbed himself several times.
But this took a while for them to find this
guy.
I
would assume so, because it's a trickle of penis blood, which can't be the most amount. You didn't chop off your leg.
Side stories, LPOTL@gmail.com.
How much blood comes out of a severed cock?
Thank
Fantastic.
You.
I can't wait for next week's emails already. So he stabbed himself multiple times. He cut off his Johnson, and then the EMS took him to the hospital for care. Police have declined the comment. All I know is they said he's emotionally disturbed.
What?
And I believe it.
With you, brother. You know how many times you look at that penis and you're like, ooh, you get me in trouble every day.
Every day.
Mr. Penis, you need to, you gotta go. You're fired.
There was a 311 complaint that was made about the severed penis.
I love this. This is a text sent it in. So this is a submitted thing. So this is how it was labeled. Litter. At 36 Hancock Street.
This is not litter. Snickers bars are litter. Wrappers are litter. This is, again, a severed human penis.
This is what I was saying when we did the Q&As in Boston, that the audience is funnier than the comedians.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
That's always the way it is.
It's so funny. But, like, yes, this is the copy. There was a severed human penis on the ground in the vicinity of 34 Hancock Street, no pun intended. Please send someone to remove before a dog picks it up, thinking it's a chew toy.
Hey, Roscoe, come here. What do you got there? Get it to me, Roscoe. My penis?
Is that my penis? Honestly, because Wendy does go for the most disgusting thing on the street.
Of course. I don't know why it is. It's because they like wet, viscous, somewhat solid things, which that is shit, puke,
severed
dead
penises.
Animals, severed penises. Anything that is disgusting for you, they're going to love it.
They love it. I don't know why. So I had to pull Wendy off a dead bird this morning.
Taking a look at this penis, Henry, I'm going to say, no, that's fantastic. Let her have her fun. It's a grower, not a shower. But overall, as far as severed penises go, it's bigger than Bobbitt's.
It's a huge cock.
It's a pretty solid ding dong.
For you having it, because you ever see the footage? You've seen what John Bobbitt's penis looked like.
It was very weird.
It's weird because it shrivels up.
And also, the cop didn't want to touch it because he didn't want to be gay.
I know, he didn't
remember
want
that?
Like, it's so dumb. But this thing is like, he was definitely a shower. I would have been a lot less upset if I was him. He should have looked down at a penis and said, he's like, well, at least I did something good in this life.
Absolutely. He's got an oddest tool, size tool, although he did not cut the balls, just the keck. And anyway, if you're this guy, I guess you wake up kind of upset.
Yes.
What do you have to do to kill yourself? Is he like superhuman? Is he like living like Kenny from South Park? Can he not die?
I just don't know. Maybe what if in there some way his penis has been like, come on, buddy. Come on, come on, can't we go on vacation? If you ain't gonna take time off of crazy work, maybe it's time for me to go on vacation.
So you're thinking the penis severed itself.
Yeah, and he's just like, well, all right, I'll let you go. And then he cut it off, kind of expecting the penis to crawl away and go to like a Royal Caribbean or like someplace to go out of town, go over to the local travel agency. But then it just flopped there, and he's just like, oh, well, I'm a lot more far gone than I thought it was.
Absolutely. Several hours. I guess, you know, that might be one of those situations where you look down. We all are complicit when it comes to seeing something horrible and just being like, but I got to go to work.
Oh, absolutely.
New York City, you have to walk by situations that any rational person that would stop and help
someone.
Shatter their life.
Yeah.
But you got to go.
Yes, of course. So you got shit to do. You got to get to work.
You look down and you're like, I'm going to register that as a severed penis. But then you have to overcome that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You're just going to be like, no. Couldn't have been.
You're in the big city.
I've
seen I've seen whole ass corpses.
You've seen a corpse?
Oh, yeah. Well, I saw some guy. It was one of those things where we were on the train, and there was a guy there who looked like he was asleep, and then some guy hits him, and he just flump over, and then you'd be like, well, hopefully he's just real asleep.
Welcome to New York City. I love being a performer. Well, you know what you should love? Speaking of... Well,
Are you going to talk about pizza?
No, I wanted to talk about UFOs.
Oh, yes.
Because this is quite interesting. From the Pentagon, audit the Pentagon. But there is a 1,500-page report that came out because of FOIA. It took quite a while.
It did.
Thank you for everyone. Keep on sending the FOIA requests. They have to give you the documents. And they sent some UFO ones.
What came out is exactly what I talk about in the live show. Is they're about their fascination. One of the things that I took as a key here was a fascination with the physical evidence of when somebody sees a UFO or anomalous event, they actually can get physically ill.
Right.
This the one report that came out as one of the 1,500 that was released was called Anomalous Acute and Subacute Field Effects on Human and Biological Tissues.
And this is significant because of the theoretical weaponization, correct?
Yes. So it's like human observers by anomalous advanced aerospace systems. This is how the way they phrased it, right? And they said that this was prepared for the DIA. It warned that that's why these objects may be a quote unquote threat to U.S. interests.
Mm.
So things that are basically what it sums up is that people who've had exposures to anomalous vehicles, especially airborne and when close proximity, they might have some kind of injury that is related to what they also then have come to believe is called an energy related propulsion systems, which means they didn't know what it is.
Yeah.
They're just saying it's some kind of energy. And what it does, these are the injuries it lists. Heating, burn injuries, radiation burns, damage to the brain, and enough to impact people's nerves. This is from the report. Sufficient incidents and accidents have been accurately reported and medical data acquired as to support a hypothesis that some advanced systems already deployed and opaque to full U.S. understandings. Just again, so saying that is code for we don't know what the fuck it is.
And one interesting thing about the document, this is according to the Acquisition Threat Support Report. It sets out how to categorize anomalous behavior with encounters with, quote, ghosts, yetis, spirits, elves, and other mythical slash legendary entities classed as an AN3.
Yeah,
so the Pentagon, this is, again, where is our money going? There has to be Yeti studies happening.
They are looking into it. I think this is far healthier than drones, as far as I'm concerned.
You know, it's all about how they're allocating the funds. I mean, if you're gonna spend my money, spend it on poltergeist, crop circles, spontaneous human combustion, alien abductions.
There is an X-Files.
And other paranormal events.
There is an X-Files manned by people far less fuckable than David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson.
Well, of course,
Who knows? Send us your Tinder profiles if you work for the X-Files within the U.S. government. I'd love to see what you look like.
Seriously, now, Luis Elizondo, he's probably an example of one of the hunkier ones.
Well, I guess. That's interesting. He's more thick with two C's.
Yeah.
Now, it does really good. And mostly what you do have to understand about these reports is that what I have learned about looking through CIA released documents is that they collect everything. So
right.
Yes, it does seem like they are pointing out, like, this comes from, I'm reading an article from The Sun, which means we're still in the pocket of like making fun of the phenomenon, keeping it light. And they are trying to still throw shade on this idea that, like, so when he says that that the U.S. government is dealing with encounters with ghosts, yetis, spirits, and elves,
right,
and other mythical legendary entities, that is called an inside baseball roast.
That's a roast?
That is them showing, see, we collect all of this stuff. And yeah, it's just because we're interested in it. It's not because we're pointedly looking at anything. We're showing you all of this wackadoo stuff so that you can still think it's all wackadoo. While inside of it, what we're really saying is we're collecting every single piece. So they are talking to people that have experienced abduction events, unaccounted for pregnancies, sexual encounters, experiences telepathy, and perceived teleportation. Like, so, but it's more of them being like, hey, it's not like we think it's real. It's just a part of the net we cast out and what we get back.
Well, and perhaps it's just them trying to get a contract for their nephew that they can't relate to. And they're like, here's $5 million. Go investigate the Yetis.
Seriously.
Please come back to our family.
I wish my daddy worked at the DIA.
Well, there is a lot of money in this. So whether you believe in the phenomenon or not, the fact is there is still a lot, millions and millions of dollars being spent. There was a government contract awarded to Bigelow Aerospace Advanced Space Studies.
Yeah, Bigelow.
They got $12 million.
Oh yeah, that was the original group. That is the thing that we've been kind of talking about. And now they are trying to say they're going to create a more official version within the Pentagon. But we'll see, because they really don't, I still feel like they are hesitant, because the stuff that's coming out really just shows more and more that it's fucking wiggity.
It is, man.
You can't put
it
in a box. And it's this stuff.
And as we talk about during the live show, living in the gray is a good time too.
I think so. I also think that that's what reality is. Yes. We are in a consensus reality. I feel like that there's a lot of blind spots in there where weird stuff can pop out. But if you just look at, they show here, it breaks down from a series of written abduction accounts that they have collected. It's 129 of them. And they talk about a lot of shit. So, but like, you know, there are some that are more like common than others. So the big ones are when you talk to them, these are the ones that ping all the time, which is electronic effect on vehicles, which we've already seen. We've read about this countless times.
Absolutely.
Paralysis, perceived time loss, you know, the idea of missing time. Uh-huh. All of this is like, has been talked about again and again and again. And it goes down to the most rare, which is induced feeling of calm. Serenity.
That sounds great. Why is that the most rare?
Because aliens don't make you necessarily feel that comfortable.
I want that.
They're not a concierge at a Four Seasons.
I feel like they could be.
If they wanted to be well yelped.
Yeah. Well, speaking of elves, this is a little bit different, but I do want to mention this. This is a side stories alert. I'm not sure if you have this story, Henry. Lucky Charms might not be so lucky after all. The FDA is investigating illnesses linked to Lucky Charms.
Like what?
Be very careful.
Is this long-term ingestion of Lucky Charms causes what?
This is a recent investigation, hundreds of consumers have reported they've becoming ill after eating Lucky Charms. So maybe at General Mills, somebody was upset. They took a dump, and that's the new marshmallow flavor.
No, is this a current thing, or is this people have been saying?
April 5th, 2022, my friend. This is happening right now. This is why it's an alert.
This is why you guys got to start eating more goddamn flax. I eat Nature's Path. All right? It's whatever. It's colon blow.
It is the most accurate name for a cereal ever, Nature's Path, and I just think it's disgusting. Yeah. Yes. So General Mills is believed to be making people sick. Consumers are saying after they eat the Lucky Charms, they vomit and they have a bunch of diarrhea.
Whoa.
So be very careful. More than 400 people flooded the website iwaspoisoned.com. Why didn't we buy that?
Oh, we should have definitely iwaspoisoned.com. Damn it.
And they've all said they had their Lucky Charms, and they just started horking and shit.
Weird, man. That's not good.
No, it's not.
I don't think that's good at all. Put the charms down, man. This is not just about diabetes no more. You just need to not get whatever the fucking, that leprechaun flu.
The leprechaun flu. Don't do it. That's also very racist against the Irish.
Hey,
come on.
Man, I want to say I might have been a party to that at some point when it comes down to it. That's, I feel like what this all is.
Yes, indeed.
All of this is about being allergic to leprechauns.
So the FDA, it's currently collecting samples, which that's kind of a fun day, and they're taking it to General Mills, and General Mills, they might have to do a recall, and apparently this isn't the first time. 140 people from July 2021 to March 2022 reported via iwaspoisoned.com that they got sick while eating Lucky Charms. So there you go. The luck of the Irish, not on your side if you eat Lucky Charms, and I think that's fantastic that they're going to get what they deserve for exploiting the leprechaun.
Do you think that this is about they have to become like the lucky commanders? Is that what we can we change?
Please,
that?
No. I think we can keep Lucky Charms. The commanders of, obviously, that's the former Washington Football Club, and that is the worst name of all time. The short, it can only be called
Warhawks.
The commies. And they should have been the Warhawks.
The Warhawks.
Anyway, I'm getting my blood boiling.
Whoa, yeah, I can see it. I can feel it. This next story is all about how, like, when we've never, maybe we have misunderstood BDSM in the past, right? Like the idea, like maybe now we're way more like into, we
I
understand.
Feel like we've always been searching for the answer.
Yes. And then when it really comes down to it, like there are people obviously that they express themselves really healthily and they love this and they bring some community and love. But I'm going to say about how it can also be used to stop a crime.
I think this is absolutely a fantastic use.
So Eric Hernandez, he's down in New Orleans.
Yes.
Right? And he's down mid-city New Orleans. When it comes down to, he's proud of his home. He's proud of his neighborhood.
As he should be.
And he's out here, and he's doing a little bit of neighborhood watch. And they happen to all talk about there was
now,
a guy.
What's the difference between neighborhood watch and just being a perv?
You have to, it's what hat you're wearing and if you're hard. Because I know, I love to watch the streets. I watch my streets, right? If I see that, I don't know
you.
But
you have to.
You have to. Everybody has to. You should. Look out for your neighbors so they look out for you. It's
absolutely
fucking, this is what you got to do. Mm-hmm. So Eric Hernandez, what he was doing, he's out there, watching the neighborhood, happened to see this guy that has been going around. They believe they've been having problems with people breaking and entering into all their homes.
It ain't
and
right.
He was like, he sees this guy sniffing around a house, trying to get in a door. He says that something's got to be fucking done about this guy.
Right.
So he goes and he gets him. And guess what? It's taking a long time. He gets the cops. He gets the guy. He's going to call the cops. Well, you know what comes down to it? Cops are these days. They're stressed. They're busy. Right, I don't even know what it is.
I'm not
it's
sure
bad.
What happened.
I think it's also because it was in a poor part of town and they didn't want to go, and that's really sad, right? It took too long for the cops to get there, so somebody had to fucking hold this guy down. So Eric Hernandez says, I'm doing it myself, and he tied him down with what is considered to be a series of shibari knots. That, like, they say he's a fisherman, right? And so he got tied down with these knots, but everyone's saying, oh, this is BDSM knots that
absolutely
he was used to be tied down with. But I think that also he's a fisherman. And when it comes down to Side Stories LPOTL, gmail.com. If you're a fisherman who likes to get spanked, are you a sub first, a dom first, or are you a fisherman first?
I actually wonder, yes. I mean, obviously, when it comes to knots, fishermen have to know how to use knots, but I think they're quite different knots than BDSM knots. But anyway, so he called the cops at 108, and they were like, okay. And then the dispatcher didn't tell the 3rd Police District officers of how serious the situation was.
Wow.
They're like, yeah, we'll get to it. It took 51 minutes. And during this time, this dude started swinging a radio at the neighbors. Almost nice and classic. Almost
it
like,
is.
You know, you don't hear about radios too much.
No.
And then Hernandez said, now it's time for me to step in. Now, it wasn't the most difficult person to tie up. He was 5'5" and 140 pounds. So he was, this guy, you can just see him like this little guy.
Hey, come on. Hey,
yeah, and then he's like, come on. Why are you hitting us with a radio? What is happening, man?
Come on.
So he says he did struggle, but he wasn't a very big guy. And then he says, I am a fisherman, so I know how to make knots.
I'm a fisherman.
Now, Hernandez, he might actually have to be careful here when it comes to his weight. And I'm not being holier than thou, but he's 5'8" and 300 pounds.
That's me, man. That's my size. That's what I was when I was the coolest I've ever been.
Well, a little bit different there, but 5'5" 140 versus 5'8" 300.
I mean, that's,
and as a fisherman,
that's the violator.
Yes,
versus the leprechaun from Lucky Charms. And yes, that's true. That's America. That's the real heart of America right there.
Yep. And so he tied the dude to a post, and it appears that Hernandez used shibari ties.
That's what I was saying. Like, yeah, he's saying shibari. So I feel like on one hand, because I looked up shibari and they were like, oh, this is a fisherman's knot. And the other one was with a naked woman. And so I don't know whether or not if it's just men who fish or women who fish. And then they get horny on the boat and they figure out, like, oh, I could tie old grandma to the boat and then we could spank around something and have a good time.
Absolutely. And of
course, what do you do with the fish?
If you're arthritic, it's nice because the water sort of creates the motion in the ocean for you. You just have to lay there like you're, what's it called? What do the Mormons do? Soaking.
John, and then what was the other one? Because they're soaking. Is that there's, you stick the dick in and you leave, and then you can have a friend jump up and down on the bed. What is that fucking called? I forget what that's called. There's a term for it that,
well,
you can jump up and down.
Well, there's six episodes all about it that people can listen to. Listen to our Mormonism series. It is fantastic. But according to John Gunnar Gilfilson, they're the owner of Happy Kitten Ropes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, honestly, this is a good time to sell ropes.
They say that the Japanese rope bondage, shibari, it is made for situations just like this one.
I think it's made to make you, is it not made for sexual reasons or is it just to bind a person?
Gilfin says shibari originated from Hojo Jujutsu, a method of restraining captives and a form of torture.
Whoa.
So yeah, it looks like the guy.
That's interesting.
He was arrested there, and
I have too much hair to be tied up.
Yeah,
I get hurt. Like, you pull out all my hairs. I don't like that.
No, I mean, if I had to really torture you, I would bring my Flex Seal out and just put it on your body and rip it off like you're the 40-year-old virgin. And you know that scene was real.
I know. I saw that. I saw that Instagram video.
Live from your grave.
A roast as dark as the night. Perfect for fueling the cryptid research and mad ravings required for your podcasting. Don't mind the red eyes. He's just trying to warn you of the bridge.
The bridge.
Finally, from the caffeine-addled brains of Spring Heel Jack Coffee and Last Podcast on the Left, we bring you Mothman's Red Eye Blend. Yes, delicious Panama beans. Go to lastpodcastmerch.com to order yours today.
I think we're ready for some listener.
Are we ready for Hero of the Week?
Are you ready for the Hero of the Week?
Let's do it. Why not? There was also a pizzeria with a whole series of violence occurred at.
Well,
so,
that one was like, the pizzeria was strange because it was the woman was with the, like, it was the partner of the 65-year-old owner from Italy, and he went missing. And then they just thought like they were going to find him. Apparently, there's a sexual component.
Is there?
It's about like, Something went wrong between the partners, and then she killed him, and they went looking for him, and they couldn't find it. And then what happens is that she said that they were having sex with each other, and he was choking her while having sex, and then she decided to, like, oh, I gotta fucking, I did self-defense. But she said the main problem was is that the way it got discovered, she asked her local friend in the neighborhood to help her dig a trench for gardening. And then the guy said, oh, how big you need it? She's like, it needs to be 7 feet long, 3 feet wide, 3 feet deep. And it was like, that's person sized.
Oh.
And then she turned out, like, when the cops came, he called, it was suspicious. And she was like, yeah, I killed him in self-defense, but, like, oops, I meant to call you last week.
Indeed. Much like when you make a pizza, you overcook it. Oops. Oh, no.
You should be able to get that pizza for free.
That is a good point. All right. It's time for Hero of the Week.
We got some good ones this time.
I got two, actually. I got two. Number one is Bob Humphreys. He runs a nonprofit organization called Big Guys Little. It's called. I'm too immature for this. Big Guy Littles World Sanctuary.
Yeah.
And he provides homes for chihuahuas who are abandoned. And there's 100 of them. And he hangs out with them. And everyone loves him.
He just lies down and all the chihuahuas jump on him.
Yeah, he says, quote, "My long-term goals include finding a unique experience for those in need across the country where they can live out their days without fear of being euthanized, kenneled, or even rehomed. The only exception would be is if they're healthy enough, both physically and mentally, to undergo the latter." So he's helping out a bunch of psychotic chihuahuas.
Someone's got to love these. Someone's got to love these little crazy people.
Somebody does. And, we know what happens when the chihuahuas get loose. They go to Beverly Hills. Yep. The Chihuahua Warrior. They roam the streets of Detroit. They injure. They will eat live cattle.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They're like they're land piranha.
Absolutely.
But I love a chihuahuas. I want to have like 5 of them. That's what I would have.
I agree with
that. I like the small dogs versus the big dogs.
I want to get a big one. I love them all. Speaking of big, there was a fella in Tallahassee, Florida.
That's my fucking alma mater.
There's a place near the residential area, Alligator Point. 375 black bear. It fell in the water and it was saved by this fellow.
That's gotta be dangerous, right? To save a drowning bear.
Yeah, well, his name is Adam, and he knew that at this point he had to keep the bear from drowning, and he helped the bear, and then he brought the bear back to shore. And then he says it's a lot easier to drag a bear in a 4 foot of water than to move it on dry land, lol raffle. And he saved the bear, and now the bear is doing bear stuff and having a good life. So his name was Adam Warwick. He's a biologist.
Wow.
He's with the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. And he said, "I wasn't sure what I was going to do, so I jumped in. It was a spur of the moment decision. I had a lot of adrenaline pumping when I saw the bear in the water.
I would be very scared."
And he said he wanted to keep him from swimming in deeper water because then you have sharks versus bear in the water.
That's fucking metal.
Indeed.
Bears would lose.
Yes, because of the water aspect.
Yeah.
Bring them on land. Good luck, shark.
Fucking exactly. Yeah, man. Absolutely. The shark's fucked.
They
what are.
What are
you going to do? All right. Here we go. Here's some listener emails. They are all vagina-centric.
Fantastic.
So I asked our incredible audience, who I love so dearly. You guys are just so, you're on it. When I asked if you could taste it with your butthole, right?
Right.
We got a lot of good, great responses. But really what it comes down to is like a lot of people have said, like, I don't know about the butthole, but I can definitely taste with my vagina. And I was just like,
is this why they do the flavored condoms?
I don't know. Interesting. So here we go. I can't say that I've tasted anything from my rectum, but I've been able to taste through my vagina. I went through a phase when I was interested in naturopathy. So when I had a yeast infection, I decided to treat it with a garlic tampon, right? Because garlic is said to have antibacterial properties. Must be Italian.
Is it a vampire?
I don't know.
What are you doing?
No, did she die if she was a vampire?
Oh my God.
So I took a nice big clove. I threaded it with a string through it so that I could retrieve it later.
There is no way that this is healthy.
I don't know. And I put it up inside me as deep as I could. A day or so later, I began to have the taste of garlic in my mouth.
I don't.
As if I'd eaten an especially pungent pasta or tzatziki.
I don't think this means her pussy can taste.
I don't know. Everything tasted and smelled of garlic. And it was pretty awful.
It's because you got a garlic in your pussy.
I'm saying, she tasted with her pussy.
Oh my God.
I guess the heat of my body or the acidity of my lady parts released some of the oils of the garlic.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean she's tasting it.
And she says, I imagine the garlic in my rectum would be similar. I don't know. She said she removed it, and a few days later, the taste began to subside.
Good. Also, never do that again. I cannot. Maybe I'm wrong. That'll be another email. That's how the show keeps on going.
It's your vagina.
Yes, but just I feel like shoving food-based products up there is going to lead. You remember that one chick who put a goddamn potato up there?
Yep.
Thinking it was going to stop her from having a baby, but it just gave her a bunch of tumors?
It does.
Tumors.
Don't do that. Absolutely. Honestly, also.
I don't know. We're not
your
doctors.
Penis tastes nothing. You can dip that in a milkshake. You can cover it in peanut butter and I get nothing.
It's not a straw.
Hello. In the most recent side stories, you were asking about tasting with your butthole. Well, I have no experience with the anal part of it. I do have some examples of tasting with the other parts of my body. I work in a med spa where we give vitamins via IV fluids. Many of my clients and myself can taste different vitamins and that have a strong odor. Vitamin B complex is the main one. Additionally, I've had experience of tasting with my female reproductive organs. While getting my IUD replaced, the doctor sprayed a numbing spray on my cervix. I immediately had a strong, cherry fruit punch taste in my mouth. The doctor asked if I could taste anything without me saying anything. And while he told him I could, he told me the numbing spray was the same kind they use in the dentist's office, so it was flavored.
Oh my God.
So while I don't, and I can't stress this enough, I have no experience with tasting things with my booty, I can personally vouch for tasting things with my baby maker.
Wow. Well, that is just fantastic. I don't know if they need flavor spray for the vagina. It sounds like it could lead to perhaps an infection or something.
And this is also very interesting. Now, this is about with ALS. We brought this up. That man who said,
Garrick's.
I love my cool son. And I actually had some people actually reach out and say that really meant a lot, because it's nice to hear that they can hear that they're there. Your family member, when they're in a coma, a lot of times they can hear you. And they're like, that's why it's very, the question of keeping them alive is very difficult. And you have to listen to their final wishes.
They're certainly not brain damaged. They are fully capable.
But I would also say, if I can't move my body, it's definitely going to be on there. You fucking kill me.
Well, you
me
already have the pact with Natalie, which we will allow her to do
without
prosecution,
it's
but you will be smothered by her booty or her booby.
So here we go. Now, this is this is both ALS, tasting with your butt, choosing to die, all grouped together in the most recent side stories, but this story involves all three. It's sad, but it's interesting.
It must be sad.
My dad was diagnosed with ALS and dementia at 57 years old. Oh, that's so sad. So sad. He went from a super healthy CrossFitter to a frail, completely changed person in the span of a year and a half. It's very scary.
At any point, you can just get this thing? I hate it.
It's very scary.
Yes.
As a part of his ALS treatment, his doctor recommended coffee enemas, and it's actually proven to help ALS patients, and so he was all over it. Sure. The dementia took away any filter that he didn't really have anyway, so we got to hear all about it. I guess one day he was feeling a little crafty and thought that he could try using vinegar to see what would happen.
He told us
that he diluted it 50% with water and gave her a go, and his eyes got wide when telling the story at this point. He then proceeded with, "And I could taste it in my mouth." You know, and that is just truth. And the last few months of his life were sad, incredibly difficult. We were always surprised by his great attitude and the things he taught us, including the fact that you can, in fact, taste with your butt.
And
we live in Canada,
from a father.
And a year and a half into his battle with ALS, he exercised his right to die with dignity. We have a program here called Medical Assistance in Dying, or MAID for short, and it was a beautiful experience.
And of course, when it comes to that, the reasons behind legalizing right to end life treatment, so you can still get the will.
Oh, yes.
And you can still
be in right sound mind and body. You can be there to be part of the transition
horrible
process.
Decisions that one has to make.
True,
but if you commit suicide, you don't get, the family gets totally screwed.
No, absolutely. And it is nice to be a part of that process, because you know how many times families are torn apart in the end of life world. Everything's already sad, and you're forced to make all of these hardcore decisions. You have to spend a fuck ton of money, and you have all of these various industries that are built on your grief, and you're also not allowed to talk about death. It's got this stigma, so no one wants to sit and have the hard conversations of what you need to do, which is why we've done it now. I got to get my grave site. Parents already told me, don't worry, their funeral will cost nothing. And I was
that mean?
And it still costs 10 grand.
Yeah, of course it does.
Cost 10 grand.
Because you can't just throw them in the trash.
Don't worry, your father and I already have a cremations worked out. It was like, great.
It still costs money.
Why are we going to go on vacation?
Get the little urn, man. That's going to be like 10 grand right there. It's a racket.
They're going in a shoebox. But I have some nice shoes. So it'll be really, really nice.
Mom, these are my favorite J's. This is the box with my favorite J's.
What do I sound like?
I don't know. You change 10 years from now when your mother... hopefully we all get 10 more years with our folks. We got maybe 20 more.
Absolutely. I'd love to have 40, 50. Really pump them up. Give them the robots. I don't want to see what my mom would be like with the power of an exoskeleton.
No, she needs to get weaker. Please,
she doesn't have to be physically stronger.
All right, everyone.
So live every day knowing for a fact that the end is coming. And I know that is maybe frightening to you at
it's
first.
Kind of reassuring as well. Do whatever you need to do to survive.
Take care of yourself. You want to love being with your family. Every day you're above the fucking dirt, right? Because you don't know what comes next. You don't know whether or not you turn into, like, maybe you reincarnated into Anna Nicole Smith's fucking butt plug. Who knows?
Ooh.
You could be the luckiest boy in the world. Or maybe you turn into a dumper. You don't know. You don't know what the hell is going to fucking happen to you. So I say, you got to love it now. Live, laugh, love now, people. Now is the time. And yeah, sure, it might be a hacky corporate even message.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to it, you ain't going to laugh when you're in fucking hell. Might as well fucking get it over with now.
You never know who's down there. Probably some great comics down there.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, everyone. Well, thank you for listening. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan. Oh, yeah. We got a lot. Wait, before we do the wrap out, you saw that. Well, let's do the wrap out. We got Z2. We got that comic book coming up.
Oh, my goodness. There's so much coming out.
We have got our show at Ryman Theater in Nashville. Woo! All of LPN is going to be there. It is June 18th. Buy your ticket. We can't wait to fucking see you live. It's going to be so much fun. Everybody's coming out of the woodwork for that one. It's going to be really, really great.
And then we have, in late April, we are going to be in Buffalo, New York.
Yes.
And then we're going to be in Pittsburgh.
Yes. My home away from home. Can't wait to see
Northfield,
people in Pittsburgh.
Northfield, Ohio. April 30th, Northfield, Ohio. So actually, we're doing great in Buffalo, Pittsburgh, great. Northfield, we kind of thought we were going to be booked in Cleveland. It's a little bit of a drive, but have fun. With it.
I don't know what people can do there.
No idea.
Make something fun to do. Come to Northfield. You don't know what fun you get. You can meet the love of your life in Northfield. She's there waiting for you. They're there waiting for you because no one comes through town. You know what I mean? They need an outsider to show them that what life is like on the outside. You know, that's something someone's taking. They could scoop you up out of there and they could take you to the big city, Cincinnati. You know, like, they can get you out there. Maybe even as far as Toronto.
Whoa. Yeah. All right, everyone. That's out of America. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magoostalations.
Hail me.
See you on the road. And thanks to everyone who came out to Boston and to MASH and took it. Y'all were wonderful.
It was a nice time.
It was great.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.